With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, August 11th, Angel Numbers.
It's real angel numbers.
Sheesh. What if we took a hard-ass numerology crystal turn with no notice to people? They just turned it on, and it was just us talking about what specific time we were born.
Bro, we argued about rats and squirrels. I think they done signed up for everything, G. 2 podcasts about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches back-to-back, arguing till we sweat, bro.
We'll make it fun.
As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler, back in the States.
I'm back stateside. How's it going, everybody?
Stateside is the dumbest word, bro.
Oh, my God.
Well, Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And this is going to be a good podcast. Just a heads up, just an advanced notice. This is a good podcast.
That always makes me nervous. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm putting the pressure on you,
dog. But don't say that either. Come on, man. Let's just have a pod.
Okay, we'll have a pod. This is going to be an average, mediocre podcast.
It'll just be a pod. It'll be a Jenkins and Jones pod.
It's an off-season Jenkins and Jones pod, which I feel like is enough. That gets you excited enough. RIP to the Breakfast Club, sort of.
That shit blew up in their motherfucking face. Basically, the Breakfast Club is still alive, but Angela Yee is going somewhere else. And like Angela Yee tweeted out, you know, this is the end of the Breakfast Club as we know it. You know, the as we know it qualifier. A lot of motherfuckers just jumped over there like, good riddance, motherfuckers. We hated y'all. We can't stand y'all. I'm so glad this shit's over with. And that shit is still there. And now these motherfuckers are like, wow, this is not the send-off we were expecting.
I think what's funny is like, you know, as we know it, and like, I don't think about Angela Yee when I think of the Breakfast Club. You know what I mean?
Think
like,
about Charlamagne Gay.
Charlamagne Gay, the god. DJ Yee. You know, I think about him getting clowned by DJ Merrill. You know what I mean? But like, yeah, I mean, I didn't really know you were part of the Breakfast Club. I did, but you know, not really. So I don't know. I thought that was an interesting way to announce she's leaving.
I just think the dynamic of like going on Twitter and being like, I have 1 week to live, and like the first quote tweet just being like, thank fucking God. Like,
a lot of people must hate watch that shit though, because it'd be doing numbers, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, You're doing numbers.
I mean, regardless of how you feel about it, if you're a black, you know, music artist, you're a black actor, that is on your spot on your promo tour. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you in New York, you pull up.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine listening to people that I hated so much. You know what I mean? Like, dog, turn that shit off if it bothers you that much. That's crazy. Shit.
Hey, we had some of that when we first got on the volume, some bleed over from you know, Big Dog Collins bass, and they were like, "What is this? It ain't for you, motherfucker. That's what it is."
So, nigga,
right?
Bro.
So bitch, you can bounce.
Please. Yeah. God damn.
We haven't gotten a flag, Abby, in a minute on Twitter doing the "I listened for 30 seconds before I heard the first N-word."
We haven't heard a white man mad that he heard a black man say nigga in a while. So I think we're heading in the right direction, I guess.
All right. Well, semi RIP to DJ Angela Lee.
Angela Yee. Charlamagne.
Y'all got some names, y'all. Y'all got some names. Oh, man.
Funny.
What did he say?
I think the funniest shit about that Webby clip that people overlook is when he asked who Charlamagne was. Like, this motherfucker's been on that. He's been interviewed by that dude. He had no idea what. And then he was like, "Oh, the asshole. Okay,
he's
yeah,
the asshole."
Charlamagne.
Charlamagne.
Oh, man.
He saw that word, bro. Head did three turns, nigga. Eyes went in the back of his head. Charlamagne.
We need a hall.
Dog,
of, we
man.
Need a
that's
hall
a hell of a
fame.
Name for real.
We need a hall of fame for brain shutdowns where you see a word that's too big. And this has happened to everyone. This shit happens to me too. But I
when
think
your eyes twitch fast.
Yes, it's Charlamagne. It's Kevin Garnett seeing the word equivalent.
Equivalent.
What is the equivalent?
I love that. Hey, bro. Do y'all don't respect that? How
I respect
though?
It so much.
He was on television. I'm not playing with y'all. Equivalent. We moving on. Y'all ain't gonna set me up to get dunked on like this. You know what I mean? Because if he fought to try to pronounce that shit, the fallout afterwards.
Yeah.
Dog. He made the right decision.
Hey, the 562 is in the name pronunciation trenches, bro. We cover high school sports in Long Beach. We do videos. We just get a roster from a coach, whatever. Like, it's 50 kids on each team, some shit. You just calling the video, and it's just like these different names. Rule number one is you just say it with confidence and move on. You know what I mean? If you're saying it right, but you say it with hesitation, it's going to sound like you're saying it wrong. If you say it wrong with confidence, I mean, my last name is Gardabasio. I've never had my last name pronounced correctly until I got on your podcast.
Also, it's so diverse in Long Beach too, man. So I can't imagine the names y'all run across.
I can pronounce Polynesian names. I can pronounce most white names. Some of the Eastern European shit fucks me up for sure. I can pronounce
y'all for
black
sure.
names. Hispanic. I can pronounce Cambodian and Thai names. I sound like the biggest gringo in the world trying to say a Hispanic name correctly. You know what I mean? If it has any kind of flavor to it.
Juniper, juniper, nigga.
the culture of my city. All right. Let's talk about, I have this topic down as KD and all that. Tyler, I feel like you are actually like the world's foremost authority on the dysfunctional workplace dynamic of the Brooklyn basketball team. Where do we rank Kevin Durant saying, "You know what? Replace the coach and the GM," and the owner going, "No, fuck you."
Yeah, I've become a subject matter expert on the
who's calling HR on who, Tyler?
Of the Brooklyn. But this is fucking hilarious because I think it all comes down to the Nets still not believing KD when he says what he says. You know what I mean? I still think they think he's bluffing. And I don't think KD's someone who talks just to hear himself talk. He's not that type of dude. But what's interesting to me here is Joe Tsai just taking this public approach of who he's siding with during this drama. Like, I don't think we've ever seen that from an owner where you've got, you know, a standoff with your franchise player about a trade request and you are tweeting out who you're siding with. That you're siding with the coach and the GM. I don't think we've seen that before. But, you know, it all boils down to what I said before. Like, I don't think Josiah is moving here in the best interest of, you know, the Nets as a basketball team, of the best product he could put out there. I think this is all a fucking, you know, a publicity stunt, a PR move, whatever, to get his rep back. Because, you know, like I said before, so many billionaires, when they get into sports, when they get into team ownership, they're doing that shit, of course, to make money. And they're also doing that shit to impress other rich people. And the other rich people were laughing at his ass with the way, you know, KD and Kyrie were running the show there. So picking Steve Nash... Speaking Steve fucking Ash like he's Greg Popovich over Kevin Durant is something I cannot get with. But like I said, I think that it's not about him putting the best product out there. He's trying to get his rep back.
I think it's just so weird that Kevin Durant actually made some, like, this is what Kevin Durant should have said from jump, bro. We can't win with Steve Nash. I don't want to play with this motherfucker anymore. You know what I mean? Everybody knows this shit, but Josai. Everybody knows this but Josai. You know what I mean? Like, bro, that makes no sense to me. We all understand that you're not going to win with Steve Nash. He was the fucking biggest joke of the fucking internet during the first joint of the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? The first round. Everybody was talking about it. Kevin Durant just finally tells him, you know, hey, bro, no Steve Nash. This just ain't going to work. I'm not going to pretend anymore. You feel me? And he goes public like, that's just ridiculous. This was a Kevin Durant's most reasonable ask. Give me a fucking coach that coaches, please. You know what I mean?
A coach and is Josiah's not going to play like, me no. 48 minutes a game off an bro, Achilles injury.
Bro, yeah. A coach that, yeah, right. You saw what already happened to me, bro. You know what I mean? Like, give me an actual coach and Josiah's like, no, publicly. So him to keep his rep back, he's willing to look stupid. You know what I'm saying? He's willing to be stupid, not to be laughed at by rich people. Bro, get fucking Kevin Durant, a good coach, fuck the mother rich people, and cash out, nigga. You got Kyrie and KD. That is money, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess when you're a billionaire, you don't need no more. Fuck it. You got all the money you know you ever need for 17 lives. But right, just it makes no sense to me that somebody that can't be as stupid as he's acting right now is acting this stupid publicly. So rich people don't laugh at him. It's weird.
It's very stupid, but it's, you know, it's prideful. It's rooted in pride here. That's what this shit is all about. You know, it's he's trying to grab some power back. But, you know, going back to what you said, Steve Nash, he should have been out of there at the end of last postseason, 2021, after that Milwaukee series. Like, granted, they got some bad breaks with Kyrie and Harden being out, but that was a chance for Nash to show his acumen, to show his coaching chops. And the only adjustment this motherfucker did was play KD for 47 minutes that series. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not built for this. And when you're and I've seen a lot of people saying, well, you know, KD picked Steve Nash, so how he's going to ask for Steve Nash to get out?
Okay. Wrong.
Yeah, he was wrong.
And he's admitting that. He's admitting that now.
Yeah. Exactly. You don't have to be committed to being wrong just because you made a mistake. You don't have to be wrong in perpetuity. What's the word? Perpetuity, whatever the fuck?
Equivalent.
You don't Charlotte McGee. You don't got to be wrong.
Y'all
Charlotte
got some names. But yeah, look. Okay, so you were wrong about giving Kevin Durant the keys to the franchise. You were wrong about riding with Kevin Durant on Steve Nash. Fix both that shit. Take the keys back from KD and get another fucking coach. It's that simple.
It makes no sense, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. I don't know how you look at Steve Nash and go, that looks like a good hill to die on. That looks like a good hill to bury my NBA franchise on the hill of fucking Steve Nash. But it's exactly what you said. The most insecure people I know are also among the most successful people that I know. And I think if you are insane enough to do, like, who was saying that? I think someone was saying this about Jay-Z, that the reason he's not on social media is because he's the most sensitive person in the world. Those are the people that rise to the highest levels, because that's how crazy you have to be to have $500 million in the bank and be like, I have to double this.
And show up to work.
And continue to work.
Bro.
So I totally agree with Tyler. It's entirely a pride play for 29 other people that own NBA right. franchises. For 29 other people who he probably hates, but he wants to be in the board of governors and the owners meetings, not having people look at him going, oh, his dick's a couple inches shorter than I thought it was. Like, that's not how you...
But it is.
But it is.
And all of theirs is. But this is, it's just, Steve Nash has improved shit as a coach. He's only, all we've seen is a lack of ability. And you look at Kevin Durant, a fucking two-time champion, a motherfucker that almost beat the Bucks by his fucking self. He was a half a size too big, you know what I'm saying, from beating the fucking Bucks.
Altering the history of the NBA.
Altering the history of the NBA, you know what I mean? Taking away what was that, 60-point game from fucking Giannis that he got in the finals to beat
50-14, 5 blocks, 16 from 19 from free throw.
Jesus fucking Christ, you know what I mean? But anyway, you know what I mean? And you look at Steve Nash and you choose that over that, I don't care how much pride I have. I don't care how much people laugh at me. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
The math does not math. And I mean, there's just no excuse for Josiah and how he's moving. You know what I'm saying? And now you're just blatantly making yourself look like, bro, everybody's like, you know, was clowning KD on some shit like, KD's always running from the grind and all, whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? Now we all understand. You know what I'm saying? Like, run from this motherfucker here, because he ain't making no goddamn sense.
I think you can have criticisms or feel negatively about KD and the moves he's made and still be reasonable enough to accept that he's correct, at least about the head coach. I'll make a point about I take the point about the GM. I know that there's Nets fans who are like, we feel like we have a great front office. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the coach, the most sacred thing in pro sports, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever, is the window, right? How long can you keep the window open? And teams that have gone to the next level, you think about that with the Warriors. You remember how much shit the Warriors took for firing Mark Jackson after they'd had one of their most successful seasons ever? But their ownership
and
keeping their front...
Thompson too. Was Kevin over K Love at that time?
And they had a front office that said, this coach has done really good things here, but this is not where we're trying to get to. And they were correct. I'm not saying I think Steve Kerr is the best coach in the world, but you can't argue with the results of what happened, right? And so that's the deal here. You might feel like, oh, the superstar picked Steve Nash, so now this is my line in the sand that you can't pick a coach twice or whatever. But he's correct that that's not the guy to get them where they're trying to go. And you can't disagree with him on principle. Maybe that works in business, but that does not work in fucking sports. You know, it's a stupid position to put yourself in. And it's a follow-up topic. You're leaving yourself with a dude who was asked about playing in a playoff game and left the group chat.
That motherfucker is entertaining. That Ben Simmons amuses me so very much. I do not understand how people are mad at that man and not enjoying the fucking performance arcs that he's been giving us the last couple of years. It's been phenomenal, bro. I have enjoyed every second of this Ben Simmons riot.
As good as Ben Simmons has been when he's actually playing ball, he's 10 times more interesting when he's not. This whole shit has been so much more fun than watching him hoop. And he's been in, what, 2 All-Star games in the 3 years he's actually played basketball? God-tier fucking defensive player. You know what I mean? And I would much rather see this shit. This shit has been great. Good for you, Ben. This is an entertainment. And regardless of if you're playing basketball, you're still entertaining.
That man left the
group
chat.
You're still working.
Right. He ain't leave him on read. That man dipped. That man gave him the motherfucking aim door slam sound effect on that motherfucker. Because they asked him to play a basketball game.
I wonder. No, no, they asked him to play a basketball game in the basketball team group chat.
I'm not here for this. What the fuck? Basketball talk?
You see this fit I'm finna put on, bro? All this orange, nigga? I bought that to sit on the sideline, nigga. Fuck you, me. Dog. Man, when do we think we're going to see Ben Simmons hoop again? Are we going to see Ben Simmons hooping next year? Yeah, do we think that starting the season?
I think he'll be there at the season opener. And there's a part, you know, all jokes aside, I completely understand if Ben Simmons felt like they were trying to throw him to the wolves and trying to make him a scapegoat.
Oh, they were.
Throwing this man in the fucking elimination game as his first game back. No, I get it.
Bro, can you imagine Twitter if they like them losing, adding Ben Simmons, and he had anything to do with that loss, dog? Starting back over, bro. You know what I mean?
Well, nah. And of all the teams, you're gonna throw him in against that defense. I mean, you know what I mean? I fully respect his decision. I just think it's funny. Like, I'm trying to picture a world where we're in the group chat with fucking Jackson and Adam. And Jackson's like, how about 11 a.m. on Sunday? You just leave the group. Just leave. John left the group chat.
I might do that. That would be funny as shit. Just for the vibes, man. You know what I mean? Yo, add me back, man. I was playing. Does he get back in the group chat? You know, was it after that stunt? Oh, you know what I mean?
They have to start a whole new group chat for him because he did that. I did that as a joke in a group chat, and then everyone was mad at me because we had to start a new group chat because they couldn't have me back in.
They lost all the content. They were mad about the lost content.
I just thought it would be funny. Someone said something and I fucking left the group chat, but then I thought I could add myself back in. I thought it was AIM, guys. I thought it was fucking 1996. It's my bad.
I thought you could add him back in, too. That actually isn't your fault. You should be able to be added back in. Thank you. Apple slipping.
Thank you, John.
You feel me?
Thank you.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back. And joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big news! FanDuel has an all-new mobile gaming app, FanDuel Faceoff. FanDuel Faceoff is where you compete in quick, fun games against other real people for real cash. It has all sorts of games you're familiar with, like a home run derby, Wheel of Fortune, puzzle and strategy games, with more on the way. Contests are action-packed and last between 2 and 5 minutes, so you can play on your couch, waiting in line during a commercial break,
wherever and on your schedule. Plus, you can practice for free anytime. Whether it be head-to-head, multiplayer, or larger tournaments, FanDuel Faceoff has something for you. Plus, in most contests, you'll be matched against players of similar skill level, so you're never totally overmatched, even as a beginner. Faceoff is also tied to your FanDuel account and wallet, so you can easily use your daily fantasy funds or sportsbook winnings in the app. I downloaded the FanDuel Facebook app and competed in a few non-cash contests. Really love that Wheel of Fortune, as I always say. Grew up watching that with my grandparents. I love that it has simple gameplay and that it's connected to my existing FanDuel Fantasy and Sportsbook account. Visit FanDuel.com/J&J to download the FanDuel Faceoff app and get in the game. Age and location restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See www.fanduel.com/faceoff-terms for terms and conditions. I saw this tweet Tyler put up 20 seconds after he put it up, and I knew it was going to be the fucking funniest thing that happened on Twitter this week. But Tyler said he has a friend that's trying to plan for you guys meeting up for homecoming. And he's being, as will happen with black friends, he's being made fun of for being organized or being made fun of for anything.
Yes. Yeah, man. Shouts to my dog Leon if you're listening. He was he's the organizing ass nigga, you know what I'm saying, who be mm-hmm. getting us all together and shit. He was my first roommate in college, my first college friend, still my friend to this day. That's my dog. But yeah, man, we be he's an organized motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? He's been that way his whole life. Like I said, when I was his roommate, he was organizing shit. And now that, you know, we're all alumni, we all spread across the map and shit. He's been, you know, the organizer who, you know, maps shit out for homecoming and for our get togethers and shit. And we was just clowning that motherfucker the other day. We was like, damn, fucking organized ass nigga. Different color tabs in my binder ass nigga. Like family reunion ass nigga. Family reunion t-shirt face ass nigga. Niggas like, bro, we needed you in the 60s, nigga. You'd have been doing numbers mobilizing people for the NAACP and shit. Like, so yeah, man, it's bro, we clown people for everything. Like, someone tweeted me and said, something black people do is add an ass nigga to one of your strengths to make it one of your weaknesses. And I was like, God damn, that's scripture right there, bro.
Brilliance. Brilliance.
Yeah, but also, I want to read something that Twitter user Yo Girl Marley sent me, which was interesting as fuck to me, where she said that, you know, the way that we clown our friends in love is similar to reverse dominance, which is one of the practices used by hunter-gatherers to maintain their egalitarian ways of intense cooperation and sharing. Dog in our homies is in our blood. That's the tweet she sent, and she sent me this excerpt. Okay, it says, theory one, hunter-gatherers practice a system of reverse dominance that prevented anyone from assuming power over others. The writing of anthropologists make it clear that hunter-gatherers were not passively egalitarian, they were actively so. Indeed, in the words of anthropologist Richard Lee, they were fiercely egalitarian. They would not tolerate anyone's boasting or putting on airs or trying to lord it over others. Their first line of defense was ridicule. If anyone, especially a young man, attempted to act better than others or failed to show proper humility in daily life, the rest of the group, especially the elders, would make fun of that person until proper humility was shown. One regular practice of the group that Lee studied was that of insulting the meat. Whenever a hunter brought back a fat antelope or other prize game item to be shared with the band, the hunter had to express proper humility by talking about how skinny and worthless it was. If he failed to do that, which rarely happened, others would do it for him and make fun of him in the process. When Lee asked one of the elders of the group about this practice, the response he received was the following. When a young man kills much meat, he comes to think of himself as a big man, and he thinks of the rest of us as his inferiors. We can't accept this. We refuse one who boasts, for someday his pride will make him kill somebody. So we always speak of his meat as worthless. In this way, we cool his heart and we make him gentle. I thought that was interesting as fuck. And then the funniest shit is a tweet right under that said, "Oh, researching ass nigga." But yeah, I thought that was a fucking so. But I thought that was interesting as fuck, man. I thought that was a very interesting, you know, origin story there.
Oh, shit, man.
I saw somebody said every time he tries to recommend a non-Marvel movie to his friends, they start calling him fucking Sundance. Yeah.
they don't even be no art film shit. He said, I recommended Panic Room, and they were like, oh, here you go again.
Panic Room?
Panic Room.
Jesus Christ.
and shouts to the homie Smokey Leroy Jr. He's a listener of the show who hit Shorty with the old research and ass nigga. That's too funny, man.
That's so fucking funny. What's the stupidest, funniest thing you've been made fun of for by a group of friends? I told y'all in the group chat, I have been made fun of by my black friends for not knowing how to be white because I wasn't racist enough.
I remember one time in college, me and the homies were at the library, and it was raining. I had like this little ass umbrella that our fucking dorms were giving away. It was in the lobby for anyone to take, right? Just a little fucking hand size umbrella. And I pulled it out when it was raining. They was like, damn, look at this prepared ass nigga right here. Eagle Scout ass. Like, I got clowned for being prepared, bro.
Hey, but I'm just saying, umbrellas, bro. That's who carries umbrellas.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. That's a different level of prepared.
This is back in my cornrow day, man. You know,
okay,
what I'm
you had to protect them. You had to protect that hair.
The wig wet. You know what I'm
you
saying?
You know what I'm saying? I had to pack that motherfucker when you was itching and shit. I think the most effective joint was I had that house fire in like in 2011. And I think I guess I brought it up too much. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, back when niggas knew I had it. I just was talking about it. And my nigga Jabari, real nigga, you know what I'm saying? We was driving to Chicago on just like a little road trip. He looked at me and said, don't bring that Tiny Tim ass shit up ever again, dog. And I didn't. And I needed to hear that. Bro, you sulking too much. Get the fuck up out of that. You good, baby. We cool. We here. We on our way to Chicago. Let's have some fun. Don't bring that fucking house fire from fucking a year and a half ago over here. So, yeah, bro. I've been clown for all types of shit. The wildest shit. But that was I think the most effective.
That
like, nigga,
stuck.
That was beautiful. I mean, I just had to respect that shit like a motherfucker.
I've been made fun of for loving my wife. That's always a common target. <It's> like,
Y'all tremendous. Been together a minute. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a lifelong that's a lifelong thing I've been made fun of for.
Right.
I've been made fun of for loving my wife by multiple sets of friends. Oh shit. Okay. Speaking of things that it's very, very, very much worth making fun of. Did you see the Lions Not Sheep story from this week, gentlemen?
I vaguely saw it. They branded themselves as making all their apparel
in the
U.S.
Right? They're being fined by the government for the Lions Not Sheep clothing line cutting off the Made in China tags off of their apparel and sewing on a Made in USA tag, which is illegal.
Who caught it, though? Who caught it?
I mean, I'm sure that someone who just doesn't like them reported it because no
was
one
was a researching ass nigga and looked that shit up.
Look, bro, if you're gonna be a grifter, you got to be shameless. You can't be trying to backtrack and hide your tracks like that. Like those MAGA hats, those motherfuckers were made in China, bro.
For sure.
Clear as day on them motherfuckers. And Trump did not give a fuck. If you're gonna be a grifter, you got to be shameless, man.
Thinking that the audience for the Lions Not Sheep clothing line actually cares, actually has the like intellectual consistency to be like, this shirt wasn't made in America. That's the funniest part of the whole thing. You're exactly right. They were going to get that and go, well, I can't walk around being an asshole with this on, but it says it was made in China. Like,
right.
Because you're right. And, some of those MAGA hats were fucking embroidered by an embroidery shop in Long Beach. And you're exactly right. Every one of those fucking hats came in with a big ass made in Vietnam, made in China tag on it. And none of those motherfuckers give a fuck because they don't actually give a fuck about any of that shit. They just want to wear the shit in your face. That's all. That's the whole thing. They don't give a fuck. They're not like, oh, no, yeah. The American textile industry.
It's not about them feeling good about their country. They want to make you feel bad.
Correct.
About this
country.
That's the goal.
Well, I have to say, I'm not often cheering for the FBI, and I'm not often snapping crisp salutes at the national anthem when I'm covering fucking games, but Donald Trump's hotel getting raided by the FBI and the crybaby tantrum that has ensued is the fucking funniest fucking shit hilarious. I've seen in this country in quite some time, bro.
Dog, somebody tweeted at the FBI, do an unboxing video.
I saw that. Drop that shit on YouTube. It's gonna do numbers, baby. Guaranteed. I'm tapping in.
I'm
tapping in.
Oh my
god. That man buried his ex-wife on his golf course. I don't think we talk enough about that. What the fuck was that, dude?
Do you know why? Did you read the story about why?
No, why? Why did he bury her like she was a golden retriever? I need to know this.
This is gonna. You are gonna love this.
Put her out to pasture like old Yeller. God damn.
Yeah, he told the kids she's up on she's playing on a farm upstate with lots of other Ivankas. He buried her on the golf course because the golf courses exist in a certain tax bracket and cemeteries get some huge fucking tax breaks, and all you have to do is have one person buried on the property for it to be a cemetery. So he buried his ex-wife like right next to the tee box on hole one so that he could get like an extra 20% in tax breaks on the fucking golf course.
God damn.
That's a Joe Tsai motherfucker.
That is a Joe Tsai.
Does he thank her when he pulls up on hole one?
Joe Tsai ass nigga.
Appreciate you, old bat. You know what I mean? And tee off. What? I mean, that's just sick. That is crazy, bro. That's what it takes to be a billionaire, though. You got to think like that. Burying your ex-wife on a fucking golf course for the tax breaks. Fuck that shit, nigga.
On a golf course.
Devils.
Right across from the corn dog nuggets.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, got to drop some hot dog juice on the way to T1, accidentally. Shit. Crazy.
Incredible. I did want to bring up one other MAGA topic. Pardon me, but I have to talk about the lady with the enormous
Hitler
hat.
Last week, MAGA today. Uh-oh. God damn, Mike.
I'm just playing. Go ahead.
I'm trying to be better at being white. I'm trying to erase the stain.
Lean more into your history.
We have to talk about the large hat lady. I don't know the context of the video, except I guess she was being interviewed upset that Donald Trump got raided, and she felt like wearing a giant foam MAGA hat would like lend credibility
to make us think, take her more serious. Like, I really mean this with this big ass hat on. Are you fucking crazy? Bro, how big is that hat, dog? Where do you buy hats like that? They are selling things like that. That something like that should have to be
right. Definitely, bro.
That shit should have. She should have to go ask somebody to make that. She shouldn't have to. She shouldn't be able to pull up and buy a hat that looks like that. They'll sell fucking anything. It's crazy.
Y'all remember Pee Wee Herman's cowboy homie who had that big ass foam hat? Man, y'all remember that shit? Yeah, that's what that shit reminded me of. That hat was big as fuck. I mean, you look stupid as fuck with the normal size hat on. You know what I'm saying? So just taking it to cartoonish heights. I don't know, man.
What? How did Pee Wee go out? What was going on? Was he at a porn theater jerking off?
Yes. Yes, and
he wasn't exposing himself.
It was legal for him to do that there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
What got fucking? We were kids, so we didn't get the innuendo.
Exactly. I was wondering about that.
The reason he really got ended was because it was a gay,
correct,
showing, and that's what got him railroaded. We just thought he was being a nasty adult, man.
Pee Wee over that shit, bro.
Yeah, yeah, and it's his career.
I fuck with Pee Wee hella tough. That was my nigga.
Me too. I had the Pee Wee Herman playset, bro.
And they were setting it up like Pee Wee was fucking exposing himself to children or some shit. I remember like stories like that.
I was jerking off in a porn theater, bro.
I wanted to.
In 2022, that's not even a. You're not getting 10 minutes of news cycle for that.
You feel me? And they ruined.
We clowning you on Twitter for an hour, and that's it. You know,
bro,
what I'm saying?
That man had an empire that they ruined because he was gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dog, man.
Yeah. He masturbated in a theater that allowed masturbation, but like I said, he got railroaded because it was gay. It was in a gay theater, so
they didn't tell us all that.
And specifically to connect the dots, he was gay. He was in a gay theater, but he was doing a kid show. I mean, that's really what you know what I mean? Like he could have probably been gay and been in entertainment, but he was gay and doing stuff for kids. And I mean, you see, those motherfuckers are still sensitive about that shit. They still think that that's evil or whatever. You know what I mean? And it's 2022 at this point. But as long as they got their fucking giant... You know, that lady was watching the fucking Pee Wee Herman show and saw a giant hat dude and was like, I wonder what he has to say about presidential politics. Like, she feels like if she puts her giant hat on, she could say whatever the fuck she wants to say, I guess. All right.
But yeah, man, you know... Everybody beat their dick, dog. You know, I'm sure the dude in the Barney, you know, costume was, you know, stroking his shit too. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because PB was, you know, in a fucking gay theater, that's why that shit happened to him. So, dirty game, man.
Dirty game, man. Damn, man. And what was the most flagrant part? I mean, obviously he lost his career, and that's horrible for him, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, but like, dude, we missed out as kids, and also like how they ruined his name. How they turned him into like a bad human being. You know what I mean? Like the stories that went around about Pee-wee were they were horrible and completely false. And we were sharing these stories amongst kids, you know what I'm saying, as kids in like elementary school. That's crazy. I want has like was there like a doc on this or something like that they called the motherfuckers out that did this shit?
So the actor, as you can imagine, with my dad, this is a subject he was interested in. The actor Paul Rubens, he actually like he still does the character, and they had a Netflix movie come out, a Pee Wee Netflix movie, a new one come out not that long ago. Okay. So he's still, I mean, he's doing, you know. You were on TV for 5 years in the fucking 80s. You're a bajillionaire now still. You know what I mean? Like, okay. he's doing... They definitely fucked his career over and all that shit. But he's been, you know... I don't know. He's been working, so...
Okay. We had some shit back in the day, bro. Ernest Scared Stupid. Pee-wee.
I watch Ernest Scared Stupid with the kids every year.
Bro, that shit was fire. I watched that shit probably 86 times.
Ernest was funny as fuck.
Bro, we watch it every October.
Funny as hell, bro. That shit crazy. I'm going to run it back with Somi. She need to know. She need to know where daddy came from. Ernest. You know what I mean? Raised on Ernest Scared Stupid. You know what I mean? We ordered it on pay-per-view and then recorded. We had all our VHSG. We paid that little $16 or was it like $3 for pay-per-view? Record that bitch on the VHS. Jason's Lyric, all that shit, bro. We was stealing back in the 90s.
Stealing. Pirating media.
Pirating. And we'd be recording the warning of piracy.
Oh, yeah,
The piracy warning would be recorded on the VHS. Nobody gave a fuck.
Well, that's why it's so funny to me when people talk about how the internet or like whatever made it easier to steal stuff. It's like it's harder to steal stuff now because there's a possibility you might get caught. We would steal everything in the 90s. And no one, like what we used to do, although we didn't, I don't even know what that pay-per-view option was. I never even heard of that. What we used to do was we would go to the Blockbuster and we would just take whatever new movie we wanted to see and put it in one of the old movie cases that was a 99 cent rental. So we get the $5.
Oh, y'all was for show.
We'd get the $5 rental for 99 cents. So that way it's like, you know, we didn't have a ton of money, but we could rent 99 cents every day. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, so y'all was switching them in the Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought y'all was swapping at the crib and like giving them back to some.
Oh no, I think they would have. Okay. I think that would have.
I mean, that's traceable. I'm like, yeah, man,
yeah,
that's
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk about The Rock.
Oh man.
They asked him. He's doing a press junket for the new superhero pets movie, which my kids are very fucking excited to see. By the way,
it'll be great for them. I think it'll be fun as hell.
And somebody asked him if you could be a pet. This is such a setup question, too. Someone asked him if you could be a pet of any celebrity, who would you be a pet for? And before the question was out of their mouth, he said, Megan Thee Stallion.
Right. And he was right.
That's a great fucking answer.
And Party said, go home to your white wife. Go home to your jackal wife.
Rock. That's what he said for real.
He said he called him a milkmaid, basically. Oh, yeah.
Her
boyfriend responded with some sensitivity about Dwayne the Rock Johnson desiring to be a pet owned by his girlfriend. Hey, if you're with Megan Thee Stallion, you have to wake up, and before you put your glasses on, you have to put the blinders on, right? That's the only way you're going to survive that. You can't be sensitive about The Rock finding Megan Thee Stallion attractive, bro.
And that was a very G-rated thing for The Rock to say. Like, the shit that people have said about Megan, about the things they would like for her to do to them, and dog, bro, like, you just got to, you know.
Don't show that man the group chat. Please don't show that large man in the group chat. That large, sensitive, angry-ass man that doesn't know how to be with a baddie. The damn group chat. Lord knows, keep it away from him. Because, bruh, dude, like, I sent y'all the tweet when old boy was like, yo, you supposed to laugh that off. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And move on. Laugh with Meg right next to you, holding two hands of cheeks for fucking safety. Okay? You know what I mean? And move on. Because that, you know, like, some dudes don't know how to be with a baddie. Party probably been with baddies before. Meg Thee Stallion is a baddie on a different level and a popular baddie. So I can understand he get caught slipping ever so often. Don't put that online though, man. Laugh that shit off. Talk to your lady. Y'all laugh about that. Tell, you know what I'm saying? And move on. But gee, like, the internet's not right a lot, but they've been right with what the shit they've been saying, bro. If you want a bad bitch, they come with bad bitch problems. You know what I mean? Everybody want them. Or going to talk about them, mention them.
If you want the baddest, The Rock is going to be among those problems.
Bro, I think what happened, though, The Rock is a bad bitch himself. If we keeping it a stack, baby. Yeah. That's a handsome ass nigga. You feel me? Whether he got a white woman at home or not, that's not my business.
Even with the milk mustache.
Hey, that's his household, not mine. You feel what I'm saying? Okay? Regardless.
You were in a gym with The Rock a couple years ago. You saw him and you were like, oh my goodness.
I probably told the story. I don't got to tell the story anywhere. Anyway, handsome, beautiful, beautiful man, right? And Meg knows it too. And black women love The Rock, regardless of who he fucking with. You know what I'm saying? Country, like, my people in this, my homies in the South, homegirls love the fucking Rock.
And you know how she probably said something is that I didn't know he was married to a white woman.
Right. They don't give a fuck about her.
She don't exist to them. That would have come up before.
For sure. They ignore all of that. And so Meg's probably said something about The Rock before.
Facts.
And The Rock said something about Meg. And Party was like,
hold on.
He saw that rock. Saw The Rock say that, and he felt a little ways about that. And I get that, but keep that to yourself, Bubba. You're not gonna win, and the internet gonna eat that up. You feel me? And they did. So
you just can't see it. You just have to be the "I pretend I do not see it" meme. You know?
You can just see it, bro. You gonna see it, bro. You walking down the street. You got a nice one, especially if you around black people, niggas gonna look. It is what it is, bro. You can't fall for it every time. You know what I mean? The happiest motherfucker is the motherfucker that ain't trying to fight it. That just know he with a nice one and just lean into it. You know what I'm saying? And laugh about it in the car with his lady. That's the happy one with the baddie. You feel me? You can't be with a baddie and be sensitive. It ain't for the weak of heart, nigga. It ain't for the weak of heart, baby. You know what I'm saying? And that's a fact. And he just got caught up because the baddest, he with the baddest one. You know what I mean? And the baddest bitch in the industry is The Rock. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to men, you know what I mean? And he said something. He got sensitive. It makes sense, but you can't respond that way, baby. crack a joke in The Rock's mentions. Y'all can become Bubba's. Maybe he's a producer too. He might put you in a movie. Make some money off that so you can keep that baddie in a Birkin that you bought, not her. You know what I'm saying?
But it also
Move smooth out here.
But it also might be like Gabrielle Union telling Dwayne Wade's wife at the time that she's a huge fan of her husband. You know what I mean? I would stay as far away from The Rock as possible.
Look. Okay, I hear you on that, but The Rock ain't. Come on. That's a... Hey, come on, man. The Rock said that, and I get it, bro.
But he's not actually... Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
He gets home and unscrews it.
For
and,
reasons
you know
we'll talk
mean?
About off the pod, because yeah, okay, I think we're going right, to go sure, a little sure, bit sure, far sure. left.
Okay, all right. Last topic. This happened over the weekend, but I just saw it on earlier this week, and I thought we needed to talk about it. I just texted you guys a picture. I don't know if you saw this on the timeline, of someone who got a white person. White people.
First time I heard that, I died laughing.
He's a white.
He's white.
He's a
white.
Go ahead.
Got Nike shoes tattooed on his feet. Did you see this, John?
Yes. I saw it.
Give me a narration of what went through your head the first time you saw it.
What went through my head? The only question I thought was, why? Why? And then I saw a response that said, this ain't it. And that's all I thought. He's not my business what he did for real. I don't give a fuck about that white man like that. I don't know that nigga. But I did think, why? Who said that was cool? And how much did you pay for this to do this dumbass shit? You a grown ass man. You're gonna have kids one day. Okay, maybe. You might already have kids. They're going to look at you with this motherfucking sneaker tattooed on your foot. You look silly. And then he tattooed the, bro, like, white people love the Jordan 1, dog. They love, nigga. They love that Jordan 1, dog. He tattooed that shit. Bro, I'm not, bro. You know what I'm saying? Gentrification. That's what went through my mind. Don't gentrify the Jordan 1. You already got the force, okay? I already got to deal with that shit, you know? Beating them shits to hell, you know what I'm saying? Ignoring the history. But yeah, man, that's what I thought. My main thought was why.
Yeah, same here, but like, your feet are sensitive as fuck too. Like you will hop into a shower that's too hot and your body will like go into shock. You know what I'm saying? I cannot imagine getting all that fucking ink done on your feet or going through all that fucking pain and that shit still be trash as fuck.
Tyler, like, you jump in a hot shower and hop on your tippy toes.
Hell yeah, but
that was my first thought was how ticklish I would have been. Someone put tattooing between my toes in order to get the stupidest looking tattoo ever.
He paid for it too. He paid money to have that type of pain for a dumbass tattoo. Y'all don't do shit and then send it to your homies like, is this stupid? Usually I'm like, yo, I kind of ask like, yo, you know what I mean? Like, especially if I'm doing something like a big, you know, what do y'all think about this? Run it through the group chat. Boom. You know what I mean? Y'all have been like, hell nah, fuck hell ass nah. Nigga. And I've been like, all right, yeah, y'all right. Move on. Where are the people that's going to call him a fuck ass nigga? You know what I'm saying? Old sneaker tattoo foot ass nigga. Where the homies just going to call his dumb ass that? If you can't get away with that shit if you black. You know what I'm saying? You going to have homies telling you what time it is.
The Caucasian culture is not you bring home the meat and say, oh, look at how poor the meat is. The Caucasian culture is you bring home 10 pounds of meat.
You bury your wife on the fucking golf course. That's correct. Caucasian culture.
Correct. You bring home 10
Put
pounds
a tax
of meat
break.
And say, I brought home 30 pounds of meat. And then the other people are jealous of you, and then you're killing each other. You know what I mean? That's the difference, right? That's how you end up with someone in between your pinky toe and your other toe tattooing a fucking black line that's supposed to look like a sneaker.
Insane.
All right.
Insane.
That's all the time we have for Jenkins and Jones. We will be back on Monday. Hope end of the week goes smooth for everyone. And we'll see y'all in a couple days. Bye. Bye.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.